appreciate his love. Well, if you turn with me to the book of Psalms 23, we're going to read Psalms 23. And I know this is real familiar, but this is what the Lord laid on my heart. I believe strongly that every Old Testament scripture points to Jesus. And I don't think there's any Old Testament scripture that more so points to Jesus than the 23rd Psalm. And I've had people, we read this a lot at funerals, and I've had people say, oh yeah, do the Lord's Prayer for me. The Lord is my shepherd. And I thought, well, it's not exactly the Lord's Prayer, but we will do it because it is comfort as well as the Lord's Prayer. But the scripture says, and this is the New Living Translation, the Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. And even when I walk through the darkest valley, there's a footnote on that said the darkest valley of death. But they kind of leave that out maybe because they don't want to bring anybody down. But when we're led through the valley of the shadow of death, we're not afraid because the Lord is close beside me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of mine enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessing. Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever. This is a little different than our King James and New King James, but I thought it had some good, a good way of saying the Lord is our shepherd. Let's pray. Lord, we pray your blessing tonight upon this word. And the idea, Lord, is to let us all realize how much you are a part of our lives and how much you care. I pray, God, that no one leaves tonight without feeling the assurance that you are our shepherd and you've got everything covered. And Lord, sometimes we get out and we think we're gonna make it without you, but soon we'll hit a mountain or an obstacle and we'll realize we need your help. I pray, Lord, that you will just be so aggressive in blessing your people and helping us when we have a need. I pray, Lord, that you'll bring such blessing, such an overwhelming power in our lives, and we'll give you glory. Amen. I, like all of you, have heard a lot of sermons on shepherds and sheep. And the first thing they generally say is a sheep is one of the dumbest animals that there is. But you know, I've never really met a sheep that was all that ornery or mean. Now, there may have been some. I've not been around that many sheep. But I've found that if a sheep really needs help. We went to Chowchilla and to Las Banas yesterday, and there's cows all over the hills. Just hanging out, eating grass. And it's beautiful to see those cows just enjoying life, and their job is to eat green grass, and they do that quite well. But a sheep is a little different. They kind of need someone to hang around them. How many's ever seen the fainting goats? This is kind of off the subject, but I'm amazed at those guys. They just run around, boom, just like they're gone. And pretty soon they'll wake up and go again. That's the oddest thing in the world. But sheep need someone to help them, to lead them and guide them. And why is it a comfort to us to say that the Lord is our shepherd? Because he wants to be involved with every part of our lives. He wants to be the provision, the strength, the leader, and the guide. He's given us the Holy Ghost so that we can be led by the Spirit. And the scripture says, as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. So thank God for that. He leads us. He puts us in certain places. How many's ever been somewhere you didn't want to be? I know I've heard the situations and people saying, oh my goodness, I didn't like that area or this thing. I remember years ago we preached for Brother Art Powers in Sunnyvale. That was a long time ago. And I remember telling Brother and Sister Powers after church, we went out for a bite to eat, and I said, I just never want to go to the valley. Now back then, this was uptown. I mean, you were in the Santa Clara section or the Bay City section or Monterey. You were there. But the valley was rougher and, you know, rural area and so forth. And I don't think it was more than 2 months, and the Lord led us to a church in Tulare, which is in the valley. Now, Tulare is quite different than Campbell and San Jose. Back then, even more so. The pace of life was good. I like that quite a lot. And I worked with Glenn Stout and his brother Wesley, and I thought that was all good. I built a house for Brother Parkinson. But the valley was hard, and it was different kinds of people. The church was different. It was sure different than Calvary Temple and different from Santa Cruz. I was going to church at Santa Cruz, and Brother Salter said, I got you a tryout. I said, I don't remember asking you to get me a tryout. But he said, I got you a tryout in Tulare. I said, I don't know about that, brother. I don't know. But we went, we tried out, and against, I think, every odds, I think most of those people were surprised we got the church. But the Lord was there with us, and he taught us. We learned a lot of things in our 20s, and Donnie was born there. So we came away from Tulare with a blessing that's lasted all of these years, and we believe that that blessings from that experience will continue on. Even though some places are hard and it's different. Now, I was listening to Debbie talk about where she wants to retire, and Chowchilla was not mentioned one time. She also didn't bring up Las Banas, even though it is a little closer to the mountains, but somewhere cool would be right down her alley. We don't know what God has in store for us, but this is what we know, that he will be with us. And that he will take us through whatever we are going to face. We don't know this week what's ahead, but we do know this, that God is there. And this scripture tells us that the rod and the staff will comfort us, protect and comfort us. The Lord prepares a feast before us, before the presence of our enemies, and he anoints our head with oil. Such a blessing. I want to read this from the Amplified Bible. It says, the Lord is my shepherd, to feed, to guide, and to shield me. I shall not want. He lets me lie down in green pastures, and he leads me beside still and quiet waters. He refreshes and restores my soul or my life, and he leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the sunless valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you're with me. Your rod to protect, your staff to guide, they comfort and console me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies, and you have anointed and refreshed my head with oil. My cup runs over. Every now and again, we need to come to that place of refreshing. We get tired. We get real tired and worn out. And the Lord is able to come and just pour that fresh anointing upon us and rejuvenate and strengthen us. Then the last says, surely goodness and mercy and unfailing love shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell forever throughout my days in the house and in the presence of the Lord. Isn't that the good hope? Someday we'll be with him. If you want to turn to the book of John, I want to read. How much do I want to read? Brother Tim Smith said something about any sermon that's longer than 20 minutes is too long for a bad sermon, and long enough for a good sermon, or something like that. I think I have to disagree with that. I think sermons can go a little longer than 20 minutes, But I want to be careful with this, so let's start with verse 7. And let's read the down to about 18. And it says, so Jesus said again, I assure you and most solemnly say to you, this is the Amplified version too, so John 10 and verse 7, John 10. And we'll read through 18. And again, the Amplified version stretches it out. So you, if it doesn't sound exactly right, that's why. So Jesus said again, I assure you, most solemnly say to you, I am the door for the sheep. I am the door for the sheep, leading to life. All who came before me, the false messiahs and self-appointed leaders, are thieves and robbers. But the true sheep did not hear them. I am the door. Anyone who enters through me will be saved and will live forever and will go in and out freely and find pasture, spiritual security. Now this verse 10, this is John 10 and 10. It's a very powerful verse, and it says the thief comes only in order to steal, to kill, and to destroy. The thief. What the devil tries to do, how the devil is robbing young people of their lives today, how that the devil is attacking anyone of us, and with any lie that he can. Why do false doctrines prevail? Because people listen to the wrong shepherd. They listen to the devil and not to the word of God and to the truth that's being ministered. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they may have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows. So we need to understand that in what Jesus was teaching was in the storage place for the sheep, the little pen that we have, I'm the door. I'm the one that can come there, open the door, they know my voice, and they'll follow me. They won't listen to the hireling. They're only going to follow me. And I've come to give them the best in life. You know, sometimes people complain about, well, what God demands in his word. Everything that God demands has a reward and a blessing that goes with it that's 10 times more valuable than what we give up. Amen? It is, absolutely. And then verse 11, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. That's why I say the Lord is my shepherd, and that Lord is Jesus Christ. The good shepherd lays down his own life for the sheep. But the hired man, who merely serves for wages, who is neither the shepherd nor the owner of the sheep, when he sees the wolf coming, deserts the flock and runs away. And the wolf snatches the sheep and scatters them. The man runs because he is hired, a hired hand who serves only for wages and is not concerned about the safety of the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know without doubt those who are my own, and my own know me. Aren't you glad you have that relationship with the Lord? We know him. He knows us. He loves us. And they have a deep personal relationship with me, even as the Father knows me and I know the Father. And I lay down my very own life, sacrificing it for the benefit of the sheep. I have other sheep beside these that are not of this fold. I must bring those also, and they will listen to my voice and pay attention to my call. And they will become one flock with the shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my own life so that I may take it back. No one takes it from me, This is understanding who Jesus is. No one takes it from me. But I lay it down voluntarily, and I am authorized and have the power to lay it down and to give it up, and I am authorized and have the power to take it back. This command I have received from my Father. You know those other sheep that Jesus was ministering to Israel? Those other sheep that he was talking about? That's us, the Gentiles. So when he was talking about being the shepherd, he was talking about being the shepherd to whoever comes to him and whoever will submit to him. But Jesus said, the reason my Father is pleased with me is because he wanted to redeem the world. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. And Jesus said, I am the good shepherd, but he also is going to be the sacrifice on Calvary. And he said, no one can take my life. The scripture says that when Jesus was on the cross, that he said, it is finished, and gave up the ghost. He gave up life. The scripture also tells us that he could have called 10,000 angels, but he didn't. And he didn't so you and I could be here tonight, be redeemed, and have a shepherd that loves us in every part of our life. Have you ever asked the Lord for something small that you think, God probably doesn't care about it? But I believe with all of my heart, if you care about it, he cares about it. Amen? I believe that. I believe he cares about it. So what about the big things? He cares about that as well. And Jesus is the only one that can really do anything about it. He can take care of all of our needs. Just as a shepherd didn't let one thing go that the sheep needed, he provided. And the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. But I think this is very interesting, that even in the midst of him giving an example of being a shepherd, he lets us know that he had the power to give his life and to pick it back up. We don't have that power. If we give our life, we're done. I mean, if we take our life, we're done. But Jesus had the ability because he was God and because he was our shepherd, and he gave his life and he picked it back up again at the right time. 3 days later, he arose, and he arose with triumph over his foes. And I'm so thankful for that. Jesus bought our life, and where he could say that we would live eternally with him. Praise God. Debbie, would you come to the piano? Huh? I want to pray tonight. Now look at this. We didn't go too long. Thank you, Becky. Thank you. No. I appreciate that. Okay, Evan wants to recite the 23rd Psalm from memory. Wait a minute, go out here so everyone can see you. Go over here where we can see your pretty face.
Psalms 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the
still waters.
He restores my soul. He leads me through the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You set a table before me in the presence of my enemy. My cup runs over.
Surely, goodness
beyond to me for all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Amen. Thank you. The Lord is Evan's shepherd, and the Lord is your shepherd. Thank you, Evan. Thank you. And Becky, thank you for our party Wednesday night. It was great. We had a cupcake that was burnt almond. It was delicious. And there was others too. That's the one I had. Thank you so much. And thank every one of you for being here tonight. I want to pray for everyone. Now, you don't have to worry. I'm not going to come and lay a contaminated hand on your head yet. But I want to pray. Would you pray together? Precious Lord, I pray that you will touch Sister Marilyn. I pray that you'll be with her in a mighty way this week. That you'll touch Becky and bring blessing to her and Ken. Lord, your blessing and your strength and your presence. For Sister Watson, Lord, I pray your tenderness and your power and your healing grace. For Brother Henry, Lord, I pray that you'll be with him in a mighty way. That you'll bring blessing and strength. I pray, Lord, your very present help in the time of every need. Lord, for Terry, we pray that you'll be with her, and especially on Thursday, that she will feel your presence and know, Lord, that you're her shepherd and she has no reason to want. Pray for Brother Bob, Lord, your blessing, your strength as he works this week. We pray, Lord, that you'll give him strength for everything he has to do, every mile of the way. Give him strength and Lord, your blessing and your power. And bring, Lord Jesus, out of the hardness of his work, a joy because of his dedication to what he does. For Sister Sharon, Lord, your strength and your mercy, I pray, Lord, that you'll touch her heart and her life. Lord, let the song that's in her heart be one of blessing and strength. For Brother Don, Lord, your strength and your mercy. Oh, Lord, that you'll continue to bring strength to his body. And Lord, that you'll bless his heart. Bless everything that he does, Lord. Let him rejoice in your glory. Lord, for Jim, I pray that you'll bring strength and that you'll bless him, Lord God, that you'll touch his heart and his life. Lord, let him be renewed day by day. And for Audrey, Lord, give her strength as she works. She goes about her day. She's running here and there, and I pray, Lord, that you're blessing. And Lord, this week they're on a vacation, so really bless and keep them warm. We praise you, Lord, for your mercy. For Claire and Evan, Lord, your blessing upon their vacation and your mercy in their lives. Just fill their hearts with your joy and your love. We honor you, Lord. And for Don, Lord, your strength. Help him as he's driving. Just let them have such a good trip to where everything goes well. And the songs that Claire's going to sing will be a blessing to the family. And I pray, Lord, that you'll give them strength for all the fun and the activity. And for Debbie, I pray, Lord, your mercy, your strength. I thank you. I thank you for touching her, Lord. I thank you for giving her life. I pray, Lord, that you'll bless this week as the workload is very heavy right now, but you're mighty God. Lord, give her strength. Give her strength. We pray in Jesus' name. Lord, for we as a church belong to you. You are our shepherd. I pray your strength. I pray, Lord, that you'll lift us up. And we honor you. Thank you for your presence. And thank you for your power. Give us miracles, Lord, as we seek your face. Give us miracles and revelation of the Spirit. We pray in Jesus' name and we give you glory. Take us to our separate homes and bless us, Lord, all week long, and we give you honor. Thank you. Amen. God bless you. Have a great week.